Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Incredible. Turnout from the Tolos last night to see Brian Broaddus, Bobby Belt, Zach Wolchuk, and others conduct Draft 101 right here at the radio station. Shows you the increased draft interest, and it's going down on Thursday. The real thing with the coverage right here on the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. We are going to be at different Pluckers locations as well across DFW. I will be at the Mesquite location on Thursday for round one with Jake Rietma. So there you go. I roped Jake. Right now, I'm the only one with a co-host at the Mesquite location.
Did you have to rope Jake in?
No.
Yeah, that's. I wouldn't think that's
if
a tough
if I drop
sell.
A piece of blue cheese on the ground, he's in. I say, yeah, there's a mic there, he's in, as I'll get him to now do all the PA that Vasek did last year phenomenally.
I'm jealous of you guys. Like, I mean, I'm going to do the draft coverage.
Oh, you
is
would flourish.
Fun.
You would flourish in the Pluckers environment.
The draft coverage is always fun, but like, that sounds like a party to me. And I enjoy a party. The only thing is, when I do the draft coverage, I've got to be on top of like actually working. So the next morning,
standing in the corner.
That's day three of the draft, not day one. So then the next morning I come in here, it's like, all right, I was working the whole time. Whereas if I was at the Pluckers, I might try to just, guys, let's do shots. And then I'd probably come in here hungover. So it's probably for the best that I don't do the Pluckers anyway.
Matthew Golden is the very latest to give a Jerry Jones story to Kay Adams. We've had it with a number of different prospects. And the Longhorn wideout talked to Kay about meeting up with Jerry.
Yeah, he told me to call my mom. So I FaceTimed her. I think
Alicia?
He told me to call my mom. So I ended up calling her, FaceTimed her. I was like, I got a surprise for you. And Jerry, Coach Jerry was talking to her.
Coach Jerry. I love that. I call him Coach Jerry. What did he say to your mom?
He was just talking to her, you know, just telling her she raised a great young man. You know, all the hard work paid off and she did a tremendous job with me.
So there's old Coach, which I know makes all the Tolos very happy to hear. How does that even come up? Are you telling me Jerry had to somehow drop Coach Jones or Coach Jerry in that? There's no way Matthew Golden went in there and was like, what's up, Coach?
I don't know. I think there's... So here's the...
telling him, like, you know, I used to, you know, my true genius is really Coach.
Here's how I genuinely think it comes up. Is
yeah, please,
that,
please lay it out.
Because guys who don't even have pre-draft visits, when they get on the phone with him for the first time, they call him Coach a lot.
Because they think the coach is on the line.
So that's what I'm saying. I think that
they think it's Schottenheimer.
In this instance, they're so used to football world of calling somebody above them something, and they're not used to...
You're going into the meeting with the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think you're going to mistake that with the draft call where you're talking with your coaches. You're walking into Jerry's office. Maybe you're just saying they're so trained to say coach.
I think it's just
somebody else to ask these questions.
Football, somebody above me in the football hierarchy is coach. Like, I think it honestly for some guys is that.
Oh.
Now, there may be some others. It's just I think their only two options are Mr. Jones or Coach Jones. They're not going to call him Jerry at that point.
No.
But as they get more comfortable, they probably will.
Well,
but
look, despite the Cowboys' playoff failures and absence for 30 years, they're still a Jerry Rock. Clearly. A Jerry rock star factor, and that's why he loves to come on the radio twice a week and be in all the headlines and create all the drama and the noise, because Jerry Jones loves being treated and looked at as a rock star, even from these college kids who haven't seen the Cowboys win jack squat.
Yeah, it's still the brand. We laugh about it almost every day, how we'll look up on the TV and it's like there's nothing going on with them and they're the top story.
Is Dak still a top five quarterback, top 10 quarterback?
When we're at NFL Network and we're doing things for Jane, we'll be trying to figure out, all right, what topic do we cover today? Or when we're out of practice, and one of the standard lines you get from the assignment desk is play the hits. So the hits are Dak, Zeke, CD. Like, just find me whatever is, you know, people are drawn to. And so I think for a lot of these shows up here, playing the hits is just anything Cowboys. So anything Cowboys, throw it up there. And so they're all immersed in it. They're all around it. And you know, there is a strong Cowboy connection to what is going on at Texas. So I'm sure for Matthew Golden, too, it is kind of like, hey, this is a big deal.
Ashton Jeanty with some very bold comments in comparing himself to Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, and I don't actually love this. Not for comparing himself to Saquon Barkley. I think he's a really, really good running back. I think that Ashton Jeanty,
he's basically saying, hey, what Saquon did for Philadelphia, that's what I envision myself doing, putting someone over the top.
Exactly. So he did an open letter to NFL general managers for the Players Tribune, and he said he could make the same difference that Barkley did. He said most people, they watched the Eagles win the Super Bowl a couple months ago. They watched Saquon run through everyone in the playoffs, and they thought to themselves, this is amazing. I watched it, and I thought something different. I thought, that can be me, which is a nice sentiment. It's good.
Yeah.
He then closed his letter with a bold statement. If you pick me, it's simple. I'm coming to your franchise to do what Saquon and the Eagles just did. I'm coming to win big soon. It's tackle, all caps. It's tackle football. You know what I'm saying? I draft the guy. They can't tackle. That's nice. And it was shared on social media as well. Just that one little
no problem so
signature
far.
Thing. It feels a little, you're the last week. You don't need to keep up any more publicity to her. I think this is just.
They all, come on, Bobby.
No, they all to some extent still
Quinn
get
Ewers,
up there.
There's no difference between him and Quinn Ewers saying, I'm the best quarterbacker. Cam Ward-Shedeur saying, the choice is clear. It's obvious. Look at me.
Right, but what is Cam Ward doing right now? Cam Ward's playing on his Twitch and going like, Calvin Ridley and Treylon Burks are two of the four best receivers in the league, and Shedeur has done his interview with ESPN a couple weeks ago, but otherwise he's kind of sitting back right now. And so, to me, I just think it feels a little, he has a very green management team, Jeanty does. It's a newer one, and I think it's just sometimes being bombastic and big and out there and loud, and even if it's confidence, isn't always the best play, I don't think. And I think with a week left, most teams are just like, just sit. We're getting you. We'll get to you.
Have people talked about his personality?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
good? All good?
Yeah, I think in general, everybody's been positive about Ashton Jeanty. And to me, it's just like, there reaches a point where you don't need to do so much. And so I just think for that angle of it, I think it's unnecessary.
I cannot keep track of the Colorado stories. I really can't. All the noise, Shedeur, New York Giants. How about Pat Shurmur scaring the hell out of Giants fans? The former Giants head coach was Shedeur's offensive coordinator. He told the New York Post, I think Shedeur is a similar prospect to Daniel Jones from a player and a person. He was meaning it as a compliment, by the way. Quote, I think they're very similar prospects. I think they're both wonderful human beings. They're both highly accomplished, talented college players that have a chance to make an impact in the NFL. So there's a lot of similarities between Daniel Jones and Shedeur. That right there, that thought process should have stopped the New York Giants from hiring him as head coach. you can mean a nice comparison, but the fact that your brain at some point didn't tell you don't make that comparison, you should not be in charge of any program. Shador and Daniel Jones, do you see it, Bobby?
No, not at all. I mean, we can just start with literally the measurements. Shador Sanders is 6'1 and a half, 210 pounds. When Daniel Jones was coming out, he was 6'5, 225. When you read the way that, like, I mean, just for
Daniel
an example,
Jones definitely can move better, right?
Daniel Jones. Now, Shador will move when he has to, but Daniel Jones could actually pick you up some yardage on the ground.
Yeah.
This is just...
I think Brian Daboll tried to get him murdered on the football field so that he can move on at quarterback. That's how much they ran Daniel Jones.
I went to NFL.com and I just pulled up Daniel Jones' scouting report from when he was coming out, what they wrote about him. And it talks about that he did more with less at skill positions, quick worker through progressions, early recognition of deep ball opportunities, and feathers throws into targets, adjusts pre-snap plan to blitz and exploits hot read opportunities, consistent footwork from the pocket with feet following the eyes. That's kind of like the opposite of what's been good for Shador. Shador's issue has been he didn't really have anybody blocking up front for him consistently. His weapons were not the problem, as was the case with Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, who came out with really strong, precise footwork, that's not Shador Sanders. One of Shador's things he's got to work on is he's got kind of happy feet and pitter-patter. And so, to me, I don't see at all, and I guess he's just trying not to be offensive to either. So he's probably, I guess, got a good relationship with Daniel Jones still. And he's got a good relationship with Shador, so he's trying to be complimentary, but it comes off really weird.
Listen up, Will Chambers. Albert Breer, NFL insider, said he's having a hard time finding coaches or scouts who believe that Shador is a first-round talent. Quote, "This, by the way, is separate from any issue anyone has with his personality. Those questions exist, but we're talking about his actual game." Wow. Saying there's a lot of people who don't have Shador as a first-round talent.
Got to get that dirt off your shoulders, Sean. That's what you got to do. I told Will Chambers. I tried to tell all of you. And look, we're getting closer and closer to just once more me being annoyingly right.
But he's going to be picked in the first round.
That's irrelevant. Largely.
I don't know whether the argument... I think the argument was, where will he be picked? He's certainly not going number one.
The argument was over number one, where he said he's been the number one pick for 2 years. And I said, no, he's not. Like, the NFL has never thought he was the number one pick.
Albert adds, "I've had more than one person say to me that if Sanders goes in the first round, it'll be because an owner gets involved." So, maybe wanting the flash... wanting the noise that you are inevitably going to get with the Sanders family, and there's even more of it happening at Colorado, where we have a number retirement controversy.
Boy, this is really fast. Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter, Colorado announced earlier this week that they're going to be retiring the jerseys of Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter before they've even reached the NFL, technically. Deion Sanders has received a lot of criticism for this, obviously, because it seems like, all right, this is clearly your push here that you're in on. And on Thursday, Deion actually addressed this. This is from On Three.
And the cut sheet.
Yeah, the cut sheet, too.
You look at the cut sheet today?
Yeah, I was going to just tell you that On Three wrote about it, but we have the audio as well, is what I was going to say.
Here's Deion on Shador getting the number retired.
Let's get the elephant out of the room. I don't want to talk about this too long. I'm going to just talk briefly and let it go. We talking about Shador. We ain't talking about nobody else. But his last name wasn't Sanders, we wouldn't have this discussion. The only reason we were having this discussion is his last name is Sanders. Okay? That's it.
I kind of agree. Shador Sanders did a lot at Colorado that was really, really impressive, and he brought a lot of attention and excitement to the program. The only problem is people are also saying it about Travis Hunter. Like, where Travis Hunter's amazing, but they're also like, it took Lamar Jackson getting his jersey retired at Louisville to like a year or two ago. And that was a guy who was won a Heisman and then was a finalist for it the next year and had...
I don't know if other timelines should matter. Like, just because you waited too long, like, does that mean that I should wait? Travis Hunter should definitely have his jersey retired. I don't know about Shador, but other Buffaloes, longtime Buffalo players, have come out and spoken out against this.
Yeah, I mean, I know
Chad Brown,
Darren Chiaverini, who used to play for the Cowboys. I saw him post a very lengthy statement. Yeah.
Let's take Manziel at A&M. Manziel declares for the draft. How long does A&M have to wait?
So the way I typically have looked at it is you're you've got to give time to pass for anything, because the idea for that sort of honor is that it's like a homecoming. Like, if he just comes back next year, or they retire the jersey immediately next year, that kind of defeats the purpose of, you give it time to breathe, you give their legacy time to breathe. I think what generally people do with this, and why they try to, no matter who it is, not put them in instantly, is because you want to give time to make sure you're not making an emotional decision. You're giving time for their legacy to really reverberate and show what it is before you just say, all right, we're throwing them up there, because it'd be really easy when the Cowboys are talking about DeMarcus Lawrence is going up into the Ring of Honor. Okay, 5 years from now, he's not. Like, you're not going to do that.
Yeah, but Manziel's a no doubt. Tebow's a no doubt.
Sure, but I think in general, it's just
Reggie Bush is going to be a no, well, except.
I think it's something that, again, it's not a rule. I think it's just a practice that teams have long had, because it's, let's not make an emotional decision. And also, let's give time for nostalgia to build up to where the homecoming is a big deal. If he's back next year, Art, you just left campus. What are you doing back?
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on the Franklin LaFranco Injury Attorney text line here on Sean and RJ Choppy out on the honeymoon. We got Bobby and Pepe along with Aiden firing up the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Nico Harrison being called desperate by the rest of the NBA, and why Chris Young showed that he should be running the basketball team as well. Getting you set for the final play-in Mavs-Grizz during the commercial-free expressway with our final football ticket giveaway of the week after this. That means we are commercial-free. That means we have a giveaway for you, turning it on, leaving it on. That is what Tolo stands for. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean Sharif, Bobby Belt with Peyton and Aiden. Choppy is on the honeymoon for the next week plus here on DFW Sports Station. The junk drawer is coming your way. The play-by-play voice of the Colorado Avalanche previews the Star Series starting tomorrow night. He'll join us at 8 o'clock. And we will go on out to Memphis to figure out if Ja Morant is going to miss tonight's play-in decider against the Mavericks.
So Mavericks looking for some revenge today.
I'm going to kill you.
But first, yesterday, Brian Windhorst was asked the easiest question in all of DFW and basketball media. If the Mavs can win and make the playoffs, can it do it?
Sorry, I thought that was a tease to me. It was a great
lead-in. After 6:40.
We're starting early today. Can Nico be helped in any way if the Mavs win tonight and officially make the playoffs? Brian Windhorst.
Even if they get into this playoffs, they're going to lose to the Thunder. And it's just going to be, last year they beat the Thunder, and this year they're going to lose to them. But I think it's true. Nothing in the end.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time, it's subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean. Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances,
MIDI can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
NBA is wasted. This is one of the big lessons that I learned watching Greg Popovich over the years. Greg Popovich was a master at always making something productive out of anything. He was the end of a blowout or a game where he was sitting his starters. He always used it. The Mavericks can use this, and there's a possibility that they could get some internal momentum that they could build for next year. But for Nico, there is nothing that can happen this year that's going to save his reputation in the sights of the Mavericks fans. Nothing.
He's right. There's no repairing this year. It's done. People are unhappy. They're going to be unhappy. There's no, obviously, like, if they go on this miracle run where they sweep everybody the rest of the way and they win the NBA Finals, there will be people who go, well, I'm angry at Nico, but I'm happy for the players, and they'll cheer along the way, I'm sure. That's obviously not going to happen, though. For what can realistically...
What if they beat OKC in the round to have the possible thought in your mind, look at this roster minus Kyrie, and then imagine what it'll be. I can see what Nico... We took out the one seed who we've beaten in the regular season. We're a little kryptonite for them. Obviously, it's not going to happen. I'm just saying, if they beat the number one seed Thunder, how much would it help? What percentage of people would back off a little?
None. Like that would matter in January when Kyrie would be ready to come back. January, February. Like, it would matter then when Kyrie's ramping up to come back and enough time has passed that maybe people aren't so bitter. But even in the wake of them losing, if they beat Oklahoma City and then they lose in the next round, then you're going to get kind of what Windhorst just talked about. You're going to get people say, we beat Oklahoma City last year too, so I don't care. Like, all you've done is you've done exactly what we did before, only you fell short.
And something that Tim McMahon said on his Hoop Collective podcast, with the position that Nico has put himself and the Mavs in, an anonymous NBA executive told Tim, I love this because it's always good to have a desperate GM out there. And when you're talking about these Zion rumors that the Pelicans are going to move on from him, when you're talking about Kevin Durant, who Shams said yesterday would have a mutual interest with the armpit to work something out with the Rockets, I think Nico is going to try to go way overboard to save his rear end, try to win that championship before Luka does, get it in this 3-year window, and the rest of the league is sitting back saying, ooh-wee.
What are they? But I mean, that's the other thing. He's traded away all their picks, like, and he's traded away so many of their, like,
we got two first. We got two first left, along with PJ Lively and Brandon Williams hit 3 threes the other night.
It's just
Gafford.
Okay, like, I mean, what Lively, I guess, is the biggest trade chip they have left. And I mean, so I mean, yeah, they can look at it and go, okay, this guy's dumb and desperate, but he doesn't have anything to even really give us. I mean, they are so depleted with future assets at this point.
Yeah.
That they're not even an enticing team to take advantage of, it doesn't feel like. And I don't even know, honestly, I've gone back and forth on this. Do I expect Nico to go, I'm going all out to get Kevin Durant, or I'm going to get this guy, or I'm going to do this or that?
By the way, someone inside the Mavericks recently relayed to us, it's not happening. Kevin Durant is not happening here.
Yeah. And so... if it's that, or if it's just, I'm going to say, like, I could see Nico doing both. I could see Nico going, I'm going to show you. I'll show you. I'm going to go get more people. Or I could also see Nico just stubbornly going, what I've done is enough. We just need to get healthy, and you guys need to sit there and wait.
Right.
Until my vision comes true.
Yes.
And I could see him do either one and not being surprised either way.
Chris Young made some comments that had you wishing that he ran the basketball team too.
Yeah, look, Chris Young is such a good, steady, rational individual, unlike anything we have with the Dallas Mavericks right now. Chris Young was doing an interview on 96.7 on Wednesday, I believe it was, and he was asked about the blowback to the Luka Doncic trade. And just, hey, from your perspective as an executive, what do you see? And if I was Nico Harrison, I would immediately right now, just behind the scenes, reach out to Chris Young and be like, give me some advice. How do you think I should handle things? Chris Young said, I understand the pain the fans feel. I really do, especially here with the Mavs. I love the Mavericks. I want them to win. The attachment to players is part of today's game. It's always been part of the game. And maybe now more than ever, the younger generation is attached to players specifically. What I'm getting at is that in these moves, sometimes there are no winners. It's really tough. And that's the, I think Mavs fans more than anything else just wanted to know, like they wanted some compassion when they dealt Luka.
Yeah.
And they got none of it.
Yes.
And Chris Young at least understands that aspect of it, of something that we've talked about on the show a ton, which is the younger generation that's coming up cheers for players a lot of times, not your team. And you can quickly throw your team out of order and out of good favor with an entire city by getting rid of a player. And that's something that Chris Young clearly has figured out and would be really good, I think, if Nico picked up the phone and called him and just said, tell me how you think I should handle this just from a management situation with our fans.
Read the statement again from CY.
He said, I understand the pain the fans feel. I really do, especially here with the Mavs. I love the Mavericks and I want them to win. The attachment to players is part of today's game. It always has been part of the game. And maybe now more than ever, the younger generation is attached to players specifically. What I'm getting at is that in these moves, sometimes there are no winners. It's really tough. That's the, like,
one statement versus the 2 months of what they've done.
And he didn't need to do it off the record with no recorders either. Chris Young could just answer. It's wild.
Which Sweet Lou, one of the all-time great bench scorers in the NBA, does a hoop show, Run It Back with Chandler Parsons and Michelle Beadle, and Lou Williams had some problems with Nico.
You got to have regrets. You can tell by the rollout.
Okay.
Why do something behind closed doors without cameras, without recorders, if you have no regrets? What are you hiding from if you have no regrets? Like, you got to face the music. The same way that the players are held accountable for the things that they do on and off the floor, you're the leader of the organization in the position that you're in. Face the music. Stand in front of the cameras and face the music like everyone else. You know, don't do it with select media members and kind of rig it up to the point where it's to your liking. Like, stand out there and explain to us what was your thought process. Or you know what? You don't even have to explain to us what your thought process is. Tell the fan base and the people of Dallas what you're expect. What is your plan? What is your plan? Why do you
trade? Vision?
Yeah, what is the vision?
Yeah.
Like, stand in front of them, and then maybe they can respect your position more than that. But I don't like the fact that you did this behind closed doors, and you're hiding and you're rigging the deck up to make yourself look good in this situation. And then to say you have no regrets. If you have no regrets, why are you going about this the way that you're going about it?
Mm. This was Nico's attempt at doing that. Quote, well, the beauty of Dallas is it's a passionate fan base. For us to reach our goals, we need that fan base. And to be honest with you, every trade I've made since I've been here has not been see the but. If men across the world could eliminate, or people in general could just eliminate that word but. He was starting off well there. But even the Kyrie trade, it was met with a lot of skepticism. A lot of my deals have not been regarded as good trades, so it takes time. Kyrie was traded as a terrible deal, and you didn't see it right away, but eventually everyone agreed that was a great trade. And when I traded for Gafford and PJ again, it was like, oh, he gave up way too much. These guys aren't going to help us. Now, that trade, you saw the evidence a lot sooner, so I think a lot of times trades take a little bit of time. He just has no PR training. This is where PR firms are making a boatload of money off the Dallas Mavericks. Well, actually not, because Bobby says that there are some who refuse to work with Patrick Dumont. But this is why public relations is a thing that you can go to in college. If you're searching for it and you're a sports fan and you're like, what's my calling? What's my degree? What's my field? Just look at this and say, wow, a lot of that sounds stupid. And you have a billionaires and millionaires making really dumb public decisions. Maybe I should go into PR because I'm smarter than that. There you go. There's your calling.
And look, we've heard from so many different people consistently, and we all believed it too for the first 3 years of just how smart Nico Harrison is. People tell you he's super smart. He's super intelligent. That's why, to me, I get the sense more with Dumont. It's just, are you kind of a dope? Like that's kind of the thing.
Or defiant.
Where with Nico, I just feel like that's more, you're not going to tell me what to do. It's more, it's almost bullying.
I'm getting that from Dumont, too.
I guess I just view Dumont, like when he walked out on the court, he goes, are they booing me? Like, I just view him as like unaware.
Doofy?
Yeah. Like I just view him as more unaware, whereas with Nico, I feel
I
like,
heard defiance in that conference call.
Yeah, that 100%.
That was
right.
Dumont that defiance.
That was, yes. And I wonder, because we've heard about how he
like
puts
Nico
people,
comes across much softer than Dumont.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard from Dumont more than we've heard from Nico, like, since this all happened. So, I mean, part of this, I think, too, because, I mean, everybody said the reason why the audio would have been really valuable from the meeting the other day is because you could have heard how contentious Nico was.
Yeah.
And for me, I wonder if some of that is also just Dumont mirroring what he's getting from Nico.
Yeah, I got some totals on the fan text, 877-881-1053. 214, we can make the finals and fans would still chant fire Nico, which We've been saying for a while now. 817, if you win tonight and take OKC to 6 or 7 games, it's a moral victory. 956 says hell no to KD for a trade. So there's some of that feedback.
Thank you for the text and thank you for turning it on, leaving it on. That's why we want to hook you up right now.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Call our number 10 right now at 877-881-1053. Wins a 4-pack of tickets to see the Arlington Renegades take on the DC Defenders on Sunday, April 27th at Choctaw Stadium in Arlington. That's caller number 10 at 877-881-1053.
All right, every Friday at this time, we have some of the leftovers and lifestyle to get to. Let's empty the junk drawer.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer?
Junk it!
All right, all the Tolos gave me advice for my trip to San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of very good advice, including the pizza place I could not get into, that Dave Portnoy actually stood in line for when he went to the Final Four. The city and destination I need help with today is Canton, because after the show, I got to go change and do a 15-minute photo shoot in the Blue Bonnets, weather permitting, and then hopping in the car with the family for some bunny palooza or some type of Easter event at a farm in Canton. And the first question I ask Amanda, because I'm planning my days around like meals, I'm like, all right, there's got to be like some great barbecue. Like, there's got to be a great restaurant on the way in Canton, on the way back. I'm not seeing anything whatsoever. So can someone help me? Is there another place to go in Canton? Sights, sounds on the way back as I'm taking the kids out for an Easter experience today after the show.
Is Canton, that's where Choppy will always do the flea market
the
thing,
trade
right?
days.
Yeah.
I'm not going to the trade days. I think that's the first Monday anyway. But anyway, I'm not going to any trade days today, not with these kids. But I just didn't know. Is there anything else to do? See, is there a check stop? You know, is there another Buc-ee's where Hakeem Olajuwon is apparently hanging out? Is there some go-to under the radar famous store? Anything else around Canton that I need to know about from the Tolos at 877-881-1053?
You said Canton, and obviously there's some people, some folks, 469 says, go home through Maybank and get some B4 barbecue. So they say to do that.
Oh, my gosh.
But we did get like 5 in a row people saying the same place to go eat in Canton, all from different numbers. And they're saying Dairy Palace is where you need to go.
Okay, because when I looked it up, I saw a lot of places named like that. It made me feel like it was all, what's that place that, it's all like country gravy, I think, in my mind. It's always packed. Dang it, it's a golden sign.
Golden Corral?
It's a chain. It's not Golden Corral. Country type place. I'll get it here in a second. But that's all I saw of the list of places to eat. And I'm like, okay, biscuits and gravy everywhere.
You're getting a lot of B4 barbecue going back through Maybank. That's
the
big one.
He's a Tolo. I didn't know that. That'll probably have to be the stop.
Yeah, and we also, I mean, yesterday when we were doing the Draft 101 event, we had a listener from Maybank who was there, who actually had come through and met us at one of the firehouses. And so we also have Elliot. He's one of our Tolos in Maybank, so you can swing through there. But yeah, you're getting a ton of Dairy Palace. You're also, 214 says Jalapeno Tree. Says that's good Mexican food down in Canton.
Okay.
But they say that, yeah, you've also got some other folks who just say, really, it's just burger places, and outside of that, there's not a whole lot of places to eat out there. But Dion's Ranch apparently is in Canton, according to 214, so maybe you can just go stop by, say what's up to Prime.
All right.
You guys can relink again.
Thank you guys for the suggestions and for that. We talked about dating profile pics for this weekend, how people are calling out non-updated photos. And Bobby has a prediction for how these relationships are going to go.
Yep. Well, it's not a prediction. This is hardcore evidence. These are hardcore facts. In fact, this is a first of its kind research project from researchers in Australia. This is a new study about how men and women fall in love. And this is a wide-spanning global research project that looked at the dynamic of falling in love from both gender perspectives and found that men fall in love in a relationship faster than women do. This was a study that spanned 33 different countries from Europe, North America, and South Africa. The study grouped 808 partnered young adults from age 18 to 25 who were in the first 2 years of love, comparing them on the number of times they had been in love, when they fell in love, the intensity of the love, how much they obsessed about their partner,
hello,
and
Peyton.
Commitment levels. And what they found is that men routinely fall in love faster than women do. But
wow,
that once they're hooked, it's the women who tend to be a little more obsessive about their partner.
Mm.
So this is the exact dynamic that exists in my relationship. I told Kristen I loved her first, but now I am her entire world that she lives and breathes on. And so, I mean,
I wonder why it's the guy who falls first if this study is correct.
I can't figure it out. And they don't have like an explanation for it. They've just said this is something that they've found out. This is one of the trends.
Pursuit of the prize early on.
Because their side chicks turn them down. So they have to say, all right, I'll just settle here.
Side chicks.
No, like, I mean, this is a, see, there was a research. I don't know if it's still in my email. This was a something that we had in the email for a while about men and women. And here it is right here. This was another research project from Behavioral and Brain Sciences. And they said they found that men value romantic relationships more and suffer greater consequences from breakups than women do. Now, the way they described that was not like, basically they say women tend to find emotional support in a number of different areas, whereas men close themselves off. And so they typically only have their partner that they really confide in. Whereas women will confide in a ton of different people typically. And so the idea is that when a man has a breakup, he has no one that he then confides in about how emotionally troubling that was.
Because imagine if like Mackenzie and I broke up and I came here and tried to, you know, talk to you guys about it. You would just say, we'll get back on the streets. You know, you wouldn't, you know, coddle me and be like,
cuddle
you know.
You. Well, you're right. I would not do that.
Right. Well, you might. But, you know, you wouldn't be like all soft for me. You'd be like, dude, okay, hit the apps again. Go back on the streets. It's your time to shine.
You know what I think would happen, to be honest, if you did? I think if you came in here and it was all three of us, you're right. You would get that sort of response. I think if you individually talked to all three of us, you would get a nicer approach, actually.
You get the coldest, most distant. Not intentionally. I think you get the coldest approach from Choppy. Choppy just can't get in his feels that much. If Bobby wasn't trying to be a smartass, he would give you probably nice, sensitive advice. I would be the best, of course, you know, because, you know, I do try to look out for you despite your cheap shots and your stupid songs that you make. But yeah, I think that's the way it would go around the room. Choppy doesn't know how to tap into it. At least not in here with us. Maybe he does behind the scenes.
Men, this research continues to say that on average, it was 1 month earlier that men said they had fallen in love than women. So a full like 4 weeks where they got ahead of it. I think it was when I said I love you to Kristen, I think it was like 3 weeks later she said it back.
I will say in a couple relationships, I was definitely more pushy. And then when they happened and I had my conquest, they turned it up. So and I was like, look at a run. So this lands for me in multiple instances. I don't know why. Maybe it was the challenge. I don't know. It's like, yeah, I have to win.
Yeah, but I mean, it also is like, I don't know. I think that
because I'm not like, oh, I want to be Peyton wanted to be in love.
Right, but I think men so typically are of the like, you know, they do things the way they do of just like you said, the conquest angle almost.
Like our ego is more afraid of being hurt. So it's like more investment with the emotion or the feeling theory.
Yeah. And I think once a guy typically tends to let his guard down, then it's really easy to just get overwhelmed by it. Whereas I feel like women a lot of times are dealing with the pursuit of trying to find somebody more consistently to where that's what they want. Typically, I feel like are the differences between the sexes a lot of times.
Once they decide, though, woo, buckle up.
They're hooked.
Buckle up.
That's why you got to give them you got to give them a taste. Just that's street rules right there.
All right. Speaking of that single life, here's Peyton Russell with his story. This sounds like a single life meal.
Is this your Snapchat story?
Okay, nope.
Two-time G back in the day.
We're going five-time, better than your
that,
ditch song.
That one, the Snapchat one, two-time?
Yeah,
I think two times.
And Lucius is committed to seeing that thing to five times.
Look, this is a meal that might hit home to a lot of people. This is the mac and cheese with hot dogs in it. Did you guys grow up with that meal?
That was very common around here.
Hot dogs in the mac and cheese?
Right, yeah.
I'm more so the sliced hot dogs and baked beans. That's what I had growing up.
I felt like the sliced hot dog and the mac and cheese was usually for picky eaters in your family who you just were like, I got to get them some sort of extra protein or something.
My mom would put the sliced hot dogs and scrambled eggs growing up too.
Okay.
You know, something like that.
Yeah. Typically, I feel like that's just an easy protein that people typically try to. All right, kids will eat hot dogs. They're not going to eat chicken yet, or they may be picky with certain things. But, yeah, I was never a fan of the macaroni and hot dogs. I always thought that was weird.
Now, my parents never, like, cooked it as a meal for me and my brothers, for my family. I tried it a couple times for, like, when I first learned how to cook for myself. I was like, all right, what can I throw in here? I need some protein, some hot dogs, some mac and cheese, make it easy. But I never really enjoyed it. But the debate is going on the internet that is mac and cheese with hot dogs considered a normal meal? You know, because a lot of people have grown up
for
in the fan Texas
life. 6-year-olds.
But I
not
mean,
for any adult.
I mean, there are families that like mom comes home from work, doesn't want to cook. She's like, you know what? Let's get something simple here. Hot dogs, mac and cheese, throw it on there. And the parents will eat it as well.
I will say, I think it is. I think it's largely kids, like we just said. But I think a lot of it also still is to, I think there's struggle meal involved in that. So a broke young college student would eat this, I feel like. And then the other angle of it is just, it becomes comfort food for some people. Where, oh, I ate this as a kid, or I ate it through college, and so now it's just kind of something I like to throw together every now and then.
And a lot of people are right now on the Fantex 214-817. We grew up with ramen and hot dogs. I've never tried the ramen and hot dog combo.
I've never had
that. That's like mix and match two different things.
I've heard of it. But hey, anything to spice up the ramen. 877-881-1053. RJ knew, and I guess the entire world knew, that this party and festival would be another disaster, and apparently it is.
Yeah, Firefest, which obviously had the dueling documentaries. It was Hulu and I think Netflix had their two dueling documentaries.
Amazing documentaries.
Firefest. Both of them were great. I loved both of them. I was completely locked in. But predictably, Firefest 2 with Billy McFarlane fresh out of prison has gone sideways already. So what happened was that they were announcing that they were going to have Firefest 2 in Playa del Carmen. And what happened was all of a sudden the other day, people who had already bought tickets to it were told, it's canceled. It's done. It's over. It'll be announced again at another date. And folks started freaking out a little bit. Like, are we doing this again? What's happening here? Well, they then changed the language on the website to say, well, it's just we're going through a host site change. It's just no longer there and it's not canceled. It's still going on. Don't you worry. We've just got some changes that we're announcing. But if you bought tickets to this, you're an idiot. You are. I'm sorry.
Unless you're a social media influencer who's trying to document it.
But I would think the social media influencer would do their normal thing. Of just like, hey, give me some comp tickets and I'll give you some pub. Like that's what I would think. But I want to know, how does Billy McFarlane get licenses? How does he get paperwork? How does he get the various things he would need to legally put these things on after everything that happened with the first one? And if you bought tickets to it, this feels like your own fault. You are being swindled by a guy who is very publicly, because that documentary showed it wasn't just Firefest. That guy's whole career, like the three or four other projects he had, were all frauds, basically.
Yeah, he'd be someone Choppy has in his inner circle.
Oh, yeah. That's his tax guy.
Yeah, that's his tax guy.
Yeah.
And RJ's introduced me to so many skeez balls where I'm like, what the heck? Who is this? Whoa, you trusting this guy to do something for you?
Do you remember what he got the first thing that they said Billy McFarlane actually had success with? Do you remember what it was?
No.
The RJ Choppy bit. It is that black debit card that he had, or that black credit card that clanks when you throw it on the table.
Oh.
And Choppy ate that. Choppy would go to Firefest too. That may be why he may have just told us it was Italy, and he was really just going to Firefest.
He's going to Playa.
I wouldn't doubt it. And he's probably panicking and going, "Oh my gosh, where are my tickets now?" So, but Firefest 2, fate is up in the air after some fools went ahead and purchased tickets from him again.
I have a Mean Girl alert. This story really, really bothers me. Did you see this tennis match where the one girl went to the umpire and asked the umpire to tell the other girl to wear deodorant?
No.
Harriet Dart eventually apologized after going to the umpire during their match and saying that the other female smelled really bad. And I went and watched the video. It's not worth playing on the radio. No, you got to pay? All right, let's see.
Yeah, we got it.
Let's see how good it is.
Can you tell her to wear deodorant? She's smelling really bad.
She smells really bad. So the umpire's response could not be heard. She ends up apologizing. I want to apologize for what I said on the court. Heat of the moment comment that I truly regret. That's not how I want to carry myself, and I take full responsibility. I have a lot of respect for Lois and how she competed today. I'll learn from this and move forward. Man, I got some nasty things to say towards this woman. I don't like that type of... First off, being a high school mixed doubles tennis champion.
Well,
how can you smell your opponent on the other side? Tennis is one of the sports where you have the most distance between you. Unless you are up at the net, volleying back and forth, nonstop, for minutes at a time, this ain't a pickleball court.
It was the only sport that didn't take a break for COVID, because you could socially distance.
You know, the only thing I could think of is maybe they were both sitting in the chairs during a break.
But even still, in a
isn't the umpire in between them, though?
Yeah, like, but still, like, you're sitting... I don't want to do this with the microphone here with the two things on the side. I'll do it. All right, this is the umpire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is the one girl, and this is the other girl.
There we go.
Just like this, like I'm filming, like I'm doing an Ace and Gary SNL skit.
So to me, there's people in the stands, too. I'm assuming, I don't know, was this open air where they were playing?
Yes, I assume.
If I smelled anything, even if I smelled, I would never initially think, I'm clearly smelling this person. Yeah. I would think, there's something in the air. There's something, like, I would have so many other places. I would probably think, I might be smelling myself before I'm smelling somebody over there. Is it me? What is it? This just seems like a girl she was trying to be a bee.
The other woman showed an awesome sense of humor. She posted on her Instagram story, edited herself holding deodorant during a serve. And she wrote on there, apparently I need a collab to Dove deodorant.
Dude, this is a perfect opportunity. Some deodorant company should go in there and do a sponsorship.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge opportunity that...
Oh, man, he's going to sit there and talk to... What a brat.
Yeah.
What a freaking mean girl brat you are. I hope you lose. I hope you lose a lot of matches. I hope you lose a lot of sets. I was going to say something.
Take that back.
I was going to say something G-baggy, but no.
Did you find
diss that... track. People want you to do a Nico diss track.
I know. We need to... I was thinking about we might need to adjust the dark roasts to be diss tracks, because then I feel they'll be received better than just as mean jokes. But did you find when you were in high school and you were playing tennis, did tennis attract mean girls typically?
Disproportionately. They're gonna get like the country clubby. More brat. Like when you go to tournaments and people are like, I'm requesting an official, but you don't have individual refs for like a lot of high school matches, and they're like, I want a lines judge, I want a person out here, and the temper tantrums you'd really see. That'd be the best thing. Because we were this, you know, ghetto street school, this public school, and we were different colored rackets and not matching gear. And we go out, we had a dominant program, and you go out and you watch these little brats break rackets and yell and scream and smash because the little private lessons didn't pay off. Eric Chiafalo, I know. I was from that type of background. I was from that type of background too, Eric. That was that. All right, Bob, you want the bomb threat? Let's do the bomb threat, because that is a really twisted personal story you have.
I respect this guy to an extent. I mean, I would not recommend calling in bomb threats, but I respect somebody who is just so committed to, I don't want to do something, and so I will do anything I can to avoid it. So a man who didn't want to look after his girlfriend's pet decided that the only option he had,
aka any guy Slater dates,
this is a 19-year-old guy. He was upset at his girlfriend. She was going on a cruise, and he has been sent to prison. A Michigan man, you know, this may be one of Reetma's running buddies. Who knows? But a 19-year-old man, he was sent to prison after he had called in a bomb threat to a ship. So he sent an email to Carnival Corp Cruise Lines and wrote casually, "Hey, I think someone might have a bomb on your Sunrise cruise ship," and just sent it.
To cancel the cruise?
To try and cancel the cruise so that he wouldn't have to watch her dogs, basically, is what he did.
Now, Peyton, wait till you hear this.
So I have some level of respect for this, because for me, I will do anything I can to get out of things. So I one time did not want to go to a party that I was basically being told, "You have to go, you have to go." All right, fine, I'll go. So before I went inside, I had one of those little like Borden coffee creamers, those flavored coffee creamers. And yeah. I opened it up and I drank the whole thing knowing that I would vomit in the next half hour and then I would be free to leave. And mission accomplished. It was about 20 minutes later, I threw up all over the back porch and I was like, "I gotta go," and nobody cared.
That is such a Bobby move too. I don't like puking. I hate, you know, anything, and I'm just gonna throw up here. That's awesome.
Cracker Barrel, that's the place.
Oh.
Thanks to the Tolos. If you were listening early on in the expressway. Aiden's laughing back there with my randomness. You drank the coffee creamer to make yourself
the
throw
whole
up.
Thing. Yeah, because I had remembered once when I was a kid, I had tried it and I was like, I thought it was like a chocolate milk drink, and it made me sick. And so I was like, "Oh, I bet that'll happen again." And sure enough, it did. And then I was able to leave without anybody feeling guilty, no problems. And so I at least respect his thought process. The execution was poor.
It's the Junk Drawer every Friday during the commercial-free expressway with our Tolo Ticket giveaway here on Sean and Bobby. It's DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Will the end of the regular season matter for the Stars? Why aren't they definitely favored over the Avalanche? Game one is tomorrow night. We preview the series with the voice of the Colorado Avalanche next on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan.